Let's bring our mind to being the recipient of the kindness of so many others. So just think a little bit about your life and what you've received from others. How our parents and family took care of us when we were young. All of our grade school and middle and high school teachers doing their best to try and educate us. All the objects that we've had our whole life, having been made by others. Spend a few minutes just thinking about this and really letting your heart open to experience being the recipient of tremendous kindness. And automatically when we feel the kindness others have given us, automatically this feeling arises of wanting to share and to give to them in return. So let that feeling of gratitude come in your heart. That gratitude that wants to effortlessly just wants to do something for others. And so we want to pay it forward, so to speak. And while there's many ways to benefit others very directly in this life, a more long-term way of being of service is to be able to gain the compassion, wisdom, and skill ourselves so that we can lead them out of cyclic existence, so that we can show them a way to end all of their dukkha, their misery, altogether. And so to do this, we have to actualize the entire path to Buddhahood ourselves. And so generate that long-term motivation, aspiring for full enlightenment, for the benefit of all beings, ourselves and others. So I wanted to continue talking about the principles upon which Srivasti Abbey is founded. And you may wonder, well, why is she talking so much just about this abbey and how they live and da 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 da. I want to hear something about Buddhism. And it's because, you know, when you start something like this, there's the tendency to want to build an institution, okay? And it's easy for the goal of one's actions to be to benefit the organization, okay? So the motivation becomes, how can I make my institution or my organization bigger and stronger? But here at the Abbey, the emphasis is so much on the principles by which we live, because we're not trying to create an institution for the sake of an institution. The world already has enough. Mm-hmm. We're trying to grow the Dharma principles in our own heart. Okay, so an institution is necessary to support that, but the actual goal is the living of the Dharma in our own hearts. That's what's important. And so that's why there's so much talk about the kinds of attitudes we want to cultivate living together. So here, the Dharma practice it's inclusive of many things. You know, there's a component of study, there's a component of discussion, there's a component of meditation, okay, and of teachings, you know, in with the study. And then there's the component of service and of living together. And so we're trying to not only learn the Dharma through hearing it, but also thinking about it so we understand it deeply, meditating on it so we integrate it in our lives, and then living it in our interactions with each other. And so our life together becomes part of the practice, because it's kind of the proof of the pudding, so to speak. Or when the pudding is half-baked, it becomes very apparent. Okay, so it's important in seeing this to remember that what we're doing here is practicing, we're training. Okay, when you hear the word practice, practice has the implication of doing something repeatedly. Okay, practice has the implication of you're not there yet, so you're familiarizing yourself with something in order to gradually, not suddenly, but gradually get where you're going. Yeah. And we talk about training. So training too, any kind of training. You know, the military does a lot of training, don't they? You know, you go to boot camp and you get, you know, thrown on the ground a few times, and you keep training when you're in the army. Well, you know, we're developing the militia of love and compassion, and our enemy is the self-centered mind and the ego grasping. Okay, so we're training the mind. Training, again, it implies repetition, familiarization, gradually developing one's skills. Okay, so that's really important, you know, that there's no expectation that we're all there already. No, we are where we are, we know where we're going, and we're practicing and training over a period of time in an attempt to get ourselves there, okay? But, of course, it's not a physical place we're going to, it's an internal place, okay? So, the fact that it's a training has several, you know, what's the word for it? Not effects, but...
ramifications?
Yeah, thank you, ramifications. So one is that we don't criticize ourselves for not being there, okay? Because we know that we're starting where we're at, and we're in the process of going there. So we don't beat up on ourselves, we don't get down on ourselves, we don't sit there and go, everybody else is so far along the path, it's only me who's so distracted. Everybody else can get out of bed in the morning, it's only me. You know, everybody else is so nice to people, it's only me who slams doors and interrupts. You know, so, you know, we don't get into this beating up, guilt-tripping ourselves, okay? Because we're taking away the expectation that we're perfect, yeah? And we accept the fact that we are where we're at and we're training. In the same way, another ramification is because we're accepting that we're not there yet, and it's okay with us not being there, because at least we know we're getting there slowly, is that then we can be okay being transparent with others. Okay, we don't have to put on a face, we don't have to put on a mask and try and be some kind of super practitioner who's very together. Because we know that we're not, and you know everybody else knows that too. Yeah. So, you know how we try and hide all our faults? And You know, it's like, oh, who me? Oh, I didn't do that. No, you know, oh, I was actually up at 4:30. It was, you know, the clock just, you know, jumped an hour ahead, or, you know, whatever it is, how we make up excuses and blame others and, you know, twist things around to make it look like, oh, yes, I was totally good-intentioned and I don't have any faults. You know, we drop that kind of stuff. Because, for two reasons. One is because we know we're not there yet, and we know everybody else knows we're not there yet, so we're not trying to impress anybody. And also because we trust the other people that we live with to be compassionate and understanding of us when we admit that we're not there yet. Okay? So, you know, we're all working on this ability to be compassionate and tolerant with each other. But, and sometimes, you know, we're not so good. But basically, I think when somebody else is transparent with us and admits their mistakes, usually our reaction is one of understanding. Yeah? I think that we're... things get built up and very tense is when we aren't willing to admit our mistakes, and yet everybody else around us knows we make them. You know, that's when the tension comes, you know, in the group of people. But when we're okay with our stuff and we trust other people and we admit our stuff, then it creates a sense of ease within ourselves, you know, because we're not trying to pull something over, but it creates a sense of ease with others, and it gives others the opportunity to be kind to us and to be compassionate to us. Now, when we're very defensive, it's very hard for other people to be compassionate to us. It's strange, isn't it? You know, when we're defensive, what we really want most is other people's kindness. But what we're doing is pushing their kindness away. Yeah? And when we admit our stuff, when we're transparent, we're very afraid of their criticism, but actually what comes most is their compassion. Well, so, I mean, what happened yesterday, how you resolved that, is a very, very good example of that. Yeah? Okay, so we know and accept that we're all in the process of training, and we try and support each other in that training. Okay? So we're not competing who gets enlightened first. Okay, because anyway, whoever gets enlightened first is going to have to come back and lead the rest of us there. Yeah, so it's not a contest where somebody's going to get to the finish line and then go, I'm there first. Instead, they're going to come back and lead the rest of us. Okay. So if others get to enlightenment before us, that's better, you know. Okay, so we're not competing and comparing. Rather, we're really supporting and helping each other with an attitude of understanding. Okay. And so similarly, the principles and the guidelines, the rules that we have here for how to live together, they are guidelines for training the mind, okay? And so it's the same with precepts, you know. The Buddha did not say, thou shalt not do X, Y, and Z. The Buddha said, you know, because he had clairvoyant powers, he was able to see, okay, this kind of occurrence comes from these kind of causes. If you like this kind of occurrence, create these causes, do these actions. If you don't like those other kind of occurrences, don't do these other actions. Don't create the causes for them. Okay? So when we talk about the 10 destructive actions to abandon, when we talk about the 5 lay precepts that, you know, you're keeping while you're here, when we talk about the in-house rules and guidelines for living at the Abbey, these are all trainings that we voluntarily undertake. So they're not rules coming from outside, somebody else saying, you've got to do this, and, you know, therefore giving us something to rebel against and fight against. Because we have to remember that we voluntarily came here. Okay? So we knew what the guidelines and the rules are. We saw some sense and purpose in them. We knew before we came that the structure here is something beneficial for our own practice. And so we voluntarily chose to camp. Okay? So we voluntarily put ourselves in this situation because we know it's something good for us. So it's a similar, you know, we've been talking about precepts. We voluntarily take precepts because we've seen through our own experience, through our own examination, you know, we've reflected on actions and seen where, you know, certain behaviors get us in our life. And, you know, what behaviors create happiness in our lives and what behaviors make us miserable. So through this wisdom growing in ourselves from having reflected on our own experience, then we voluntarily choose to follow certain guidelines and live in a certain way. Okay? So it's really important to remember, because what it does is it stops the mind that goes back to being a 6-year-old kid in Sunday school who felt that all these rules were being shoved down his or her throat against our will, if you know what I mean. I mean, some people had more stringent religious upbringing than others. But, you know, lots of times we're told as kids, you know, you cannot do that! Or if you do that, you're going to hell! And, you know, whatever it is, and we feel like there's all these restrictions placed on our life without our choosing, okay? And we tend to take that view, and it could even be parental restrictions, not even the religion that we grew up with, but our parents not letting us do this or not letting us do that. And then we get really angry and we get rebellious and like, don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, our parents say, you know, come home at 2:00. No. And so we come home at 10 just to show them that we're not going to come home at 2. Or we come home at 4 just to show them that we're not going to come home at 2. You know, we do something just to kind of assert ourselves. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, so we as Americans, you know, I mean, our whole country was founded on a rebellion, wasn't it? Yeah, we have this entrenched in our culture about rebel, and we create these things and then we rebel against them. But, you know, we're the ones that are making them into rules and stuff from outside. I mean, okay, when we were kids, some things we might have been conditioned in a certain way. But now, you know, it's different. You know, nobody has that power over us. And we see that it really is our choice what we do. And so when we live in this kind of environment, we're choosing to live here because we know it's a good environment for us. So then there's, you know, nothing to rebel against because nothing's being forced on us from outside. Okay? We're voluntarily doing this because we see the benefits. You know? So it's kind of like, you know, somebody is overweight and they get a Weight Watchers, you know, because they know they need the support and they know they need the structure. Yeah? So it's a similar kind of thing for us. Okay? So, you know, that really affects how we live together, because we know we're all training. We know we're all trying. We know that we all came here with some good motivation. And we know that we all get bummed out sometimes. And we know that we all have bad days. Or sometimes it's a bad week or a bad month. And unfortunately, sometimes it's a bad year. you know. But we know that about each other, and so we're willing to support each other, you know, when we go through that. Yeah. And we support each other with kindness, but sometimes we support each other by giving each other a kick in the pants, too, because that's what we need. Yeah? Don't you agree sometimes what you need is a kick in the pants? Yeah? I mean, that's why there's these wrathful deities. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's peaceful deities because sometimes we need just this peaceful, tolerant, understanding thing. And then there's these fierce deities because sometimes we just need a kick in the pants. Yeah? So it's the same kind of thing, you know. I was explaining it the other day how compassion, you know, can manifest in different kinds of behavior, you know. And so sometimes it's skillful, you know, just, be calm, be quiet, be peaceful, it's okay. And sometimes the most skillful thing is, you know, come on, okay? And I know with me, I mean, I didn't understand it at first, but my teachers had to use that way to train me because, you know, I was very stubborn, very fixed. I didn't think I had all those problems, you know. So I listened to lots of teachings about working with anger, and you know, I don't have much problem with that one. And I think even if my teachers had come to me and said, "Oh, children, you have a problem with anger. You really should work on it a little bit more." I was just saying, "Mom, oh, it's not too bad of a problem. Some irritation sometimes, but not too bad." You know, I mean, I couldn't see it. So what did my teachers do? They sent me to work in Italy and be in charge of a bunch of macho Italian monks. And then I realized I had a problem with anger. And that was the only way they had to show it to me, is to put me in this situation where I was bouncing off the walls because I was so mad. Okay? So, you know, sometimes what we need is that fierce deity kind of, you know. And I see this really throughout my training. What my teachers have done is just kind of, well, let's pick her up and drop her in this puddle and see if she sinks or swims. You know? And that's really what they've done with me, you know. Just, okay, how about going here and doing this? And then, you know, putting me there and they're nowhere around and I'm sitting there going, what am I supposed to do? Okay? But that's kind of the way it was. So it was actually quite beneficial. Okay, so back to, you know, the principles and the way of life, what we're trying to create here is this ability to acknowledge that we're not perfect, to be transparent about it, to be receptive to other people's support, and to offer them our support when we see that they're going through difficulties. Okay, so instead of remaining just locked into our own little thing, you know how we get, you know, my problems, this is going on in my life, I like this and I don't like this, and maybe I should go here and maybe I should do that, maybe I should go there, maybe I should do that, why is this person doing that, I want that, you know how we get? You know, we're just like constantly, you know, just the spinning around me, I, my, and mine. The thing about living in community is, you know, we're sitting at the table with everybody else and we're working with everybody else and we open our eyes and we see what's going on with them, you know. And so that helps us come out of ourselves and offer our support to others. And in the retreats we have here in the winter, we close the Abbey to visitors and we just have a retreat here. Some guests come and do the retreat, you know, but they're here for the whole time like a resident. And when they're doing 3 months of retreat, it's pretty intense But the groups are really quite amazing in how much support people offer each other. Wouldn't you say, those of you who have experienced it? You know, there's really a tremendous amount of support that people give each other, even when they're in silence. Okay, so being able to receive that support and give that support are very important for our own Dharma practice. Okay, because we need the support, and we need to develop that mind that trusts others enough so that we can receive their support. And we need to give our support so that we come out of ourselves and don't get locked in our own little self-created traumas. And so that we can really benefit others and see that, that what we do does actually help. Okay. So, you know, that's a founding thing in the Abbey, a principle that we live with.